We're wound up here.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, we're going through the part of this study that's called Hearing God's Voice. So I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions real quick. Hearing God's voice could be indicative of your ears, literally hearing an audible voice. And while that happens, it's not overly common. I would tell you that my hearing God's voice typically takes form in two ways. One is a very strong intuition or feeling that's resonating within my a spirit or being as I'm praying, that like I'm praying through a bunch of different things and I'm trying to go, okay, God, do you want to do this, or you want to do this, or you want to do this? And when I land on the one that I feel like is His guidance, I can tell you that I feel His good pleasure, if I can put it that way. The other primary way is reading through His Word, and reading in the Word in the morning, and you know, something just stands out to me, and I don't necessarily know, it has a home somewhere, but I don't know where. And so I'm reading this, and it popped, I'm paying attention. But I enter into all of the reading that I do in the Word by praying first and actually asking God to guide me into truth. It's a spiritual exploration. It is not a mental ascent. It is not a mental exercise. It is going, okay, God, I'm putting myself in a position to be able to hear from You and receive from Your Word. And more oftentimes than not, the thing that stands out to me, I run into a situation where it perfectly fits, and it's what God is speaking to this person or to me or to a situation or a circumstance later. So through His Word, and then, like I said, through feeling His good pleasure and pursuing Him in prayer. There are people that have heard the audible voice of God, and there's part of me that probably envies that. I can't tell you that I've ever heard the audible voice of God. I can tell you that I've known, without the shadow of a doubt, three different times where God has spoken to me so clearly that I would have literally died on that hill. Like, if somebody tried to push me off of what God was telling me, I would have fought that battle to the death, because I was that sure that I knew what God had told me to do. One of those being who I was to marry, because I'm an idiot. And I told God, I'm an idiot. And I went, You pick my wife, because if I do it, I'll be stupid. So, like, You pick my wife. I refuse to kind of journey down that road until You tell me exactly who that is. And with absolute clarity, He told me that, which is awesome, because nobody can ever take that away or get back at that or undermine that. And I can just tell you that Satan's never come and knocked at my door of my marriage, because it's set on that. It's like, well, God told me, what are you going to try to get at?
Go somewhere else.
You can forget it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that. And that's 21 years in. I've been married for 21 years. I've got four kids. 19, 18, two boys, 19 and 18, and two girls, 15 and 13. So.
Good. Let's find this while you guys are acting like you're listening to me. That way it gives you something to do. What did you say? Where did you say? Page 9. It's God's voice and God's word, and that's exactly what Mark is kind of teeing up for us. How God speaks to Mark. And so we're going to dive into that. This is a perfect study to start out with. We're going to really kind of go through the boring part of literally filling in these blanks. So if you don't have a pen, you got to grab a pen. And we really want to kind of chew on this together. So and if anything jumps out at you about any of this, just go, hey, stop. You know, that makes no sense. Or, you know, I think you got it wrong or whatever. So it's on page 9. Kathy, are you finding it? Yeah. Yeah.
So real quick, as you guys are turning there, how many of y'all have felt like you have heard or known or had God's direction in any way, shape, or form? How many of you want to know and have more of that? Right. Good.
Well, let's do that. Just a quick word about how I showed up here. First of all, I want to say thank you to Mark. Man, wow, it's just awesome doing this with him and being under his leadership. And for your leaders, the time that they're giving to you and doing this, and then for you guys to do this. We are excited that you would take a Wednesday in a series of Wednesdays and just say, Lord, show me something. And so that's our prayer, right? That even tonight, and it's a beautiful evening, and we're kind of all, I think we've probably been running hard today, and we're just kind of, let's let the Lord just kind of speak to us. And something may pop up tonight that we'll just go, wow. So we want to learn. I don't know what your story is, but about 6 years ago, Mark said an example of the Lord speaking, and we all went, yeah, we want some more. Well, that's how Teresa and I showed up here. Sunday morning where we were, I was really happy, totally in, 20 years teaching a class. I mean, it was awesome. Loved every minute of it. Our community was there. Everything about us was kind of in. And I finished the lesson on the Sunday morning. It was all good. As I was walking out, the Lord said, that's it. And so I went, is that gas? Because you can't be saying it's it.
Right.
It's all going. I mean, I'm happy. These are my people. And we had this huge class in this big room. It's awesome. It's perfect. So we're going out, and Teresa always sat here. We're walking out. I said, Teresa, I think this is it for us. And we've been doing this 17 years with lots of people coming. So that kind of was, she goes, oh, okay, that's good. Because that means this is weird. But if it's weird and it's going against what you kind of want, then we got to listen to this. We go into the worship. 15 minutes into the worship, the Lord said, "This is it for here." And I was not happy about that. I wasn't happy at all. I was really plugged into the church. I was doing a lot of stuff there. And church is over. We prayed all week. I called the pastor. He came over and I told him what happened. And he said, okay. So on this following Saturday, I'm finding that we all have kind of this weird story on showing up here. You know, it just goes on and on. And we're a combination of kind of weird people, I think, who are actually listening to the Lord. So on Saturday, my daughter, who at that time was living in Chicago, said, Dad, what's going on with this? You mean you're not going back to the so-and-so church tomorrow? And I said, no. She said, where are you going? And I said, I don't know. What do you do? You know, what do you do? It's kind of like leaving your family. And she said, how about Grace Chapel? And I said, yeah, you know, whatever. Where is that? And she said, South Hall, I think, is the name of the road. And I said, where's South Hall? Well, you know, I had been riding my motorcycle down South Hall for like 2 years. You know, of course. And how can you be riding for 2 years and never look to your left? And it kind of represents a little bit about me and the way I do life without the Lord really just knocking me in the head. I had been riding down South Hall, and I'd never looked to my left to see this thousands of people, you know, going to this church. Walked in, went, wow, okay, I didn't know that was here. Walked in Sunday morning, 10 minutes. We were on the back of the second row from the back on the right. I think we all kind of start there, sort of, you know, and then we make our way through. And 15 minutes in, Teresa and I looked at each other and went, I mean, how could it be? I mean, how could God be this good to us to give us a gift of what we're hearing when we didn't know it was here, do not deserve it, did not want it, but it just took that just a little bit of listening, not total obedience, not perfect, but just a little bit of listening, and then look what he's given us. So I resonate with this. I want more of that. Like, I want more. Mark said, I want more. And this is a good way to do that. Let's dive in. You want to jump back in or you want to get started?
Yeah, where we just really quick on the overall framework. So we're going to talk about some ways that God speaks to us, but I want to say this. This is not a complete list. This is not a meant to encompass it all. I'm going to tell you that God speaks to me through nature on a regular basis. I don't mean in some weird way. I just mean very practically. You look in the Word and it says, I'm going to teach you about life by having you look at ants. Like, look at how they're organized and how they get ahead of things and they structure things and they work together and they have this cooperative thing. Like, God's saying, I've given you examples in this. And I think that's really all around us. We talked about this last on Sunday.
Yeah.
You guys know who George Washington Carver is? So George Washington Carver, was a black man whose family had been freed from slavery, and he was awesome guy, loved God, was pursuing God, and asked God to show him the majesty of God's character in space, in the universe. And as he was praying that through, he just realized, there's no way I can comprehend that. There's no way that I can get a hold of that. That's just way too big of an ask. And so he went back to God and said, I want you to show me your majesty and your glory and your creativity in the peanut. And God, he's like a thousand different inventions that came from peanut and peanut oil. And there's a huge agricultural school that exists still to this day based on his work. And he's seen as the father of kind of black horticulture, agriculture, and just amazing, amazing man. And God spoke to him through the peanut a thousand different ways. And so there's a lot of stuff that's out there that depending on our hunger and pursuit for it. I heard this said the other day. You know, we're sitting on the chair in our living room, and our wives come in and, you know, ask us, hey, are you hungry? And you go, man, yeah, I'm starving. I wasn't hungry enough to actually get up and go to the kitchen, but now that somebody's offering to get me food, all of a sudden I'm starving. And I think a lot of times hearing from God or pursuing God is kind of like that. Yeah, we're starving for it, but we haven't gotten up out of our chair. And that kind of starving, I don't know that really gets God's attention or his engagement with us until we're on the move. You know, so it's not just intellectual recognition. It really is pursued. Hmm. You know, and that's what he says, right? If you'll pursue me like gold and silver and precious stones, then I'll reveal my character to you. Well, if you think about that, that's like getting down in a hole in the ground, separated from everybody else with almost no light, in pursuit of something that you see as so valuable that you're willing to put yourself in less than ideal circumstances to get it. Hmm. And I'm speaking that to me as much as I am to anybody, but that's, there's things about God's character and nature that he holds dear and isn't going to give up cheaply. Hmm. And there's other stuff that he throws a rainbow in the sky and says, every time you see that, that's me. Hmm. Telling you about that promise I made again. So, anyway.
Good. Well, let's get off the couch. Let's go to the very first category and look at the foundational point. The very first point you see is God is still speaking, right? You guys see that? And look at the verse. I think this whole study really builds off of Psalms 46:10, and read that with me. It says, be still and know that I am God. Do we need a dose of that? You know, do we need a little dose of that in our lives? I think that would cure a whole lot of ills if we could just fall back on 46:10 and just say, Lord, you know, I've got to have some of you. Help me be still. Instead of me trying to figure things out, getting all wound up in my own thoughts, I believe that sets an atmosphere for God to speak to us. So it's a great, great foundation. Next verse, and we're not going to read all these, but I want us to see from Proverbs 8:34. It says, blessed is the man, and listen to the action here. He says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. What are the actions there? What action words, or what did you hear?
Listens.
Mm-hmm.
Watching.
Waiting.
Just listen to that. How often do we really incorporate that? You know, we pray and we're kind of running, and you know, I jump in my car in the morning and I start trying to pray and drive. How much time am I still so that I can listen, watch, and wait? I know you have multiple testimonies as to what happens when you do that. You know, I had an encounter in the office yesterday morning we have just gone over this. I'm saying, Lord, you know, make this applicable. I walked and I was just listening. I was saying, come on, you know, you got it. And I mean, it's just awesome when he shows up. You can say amen to any of this.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. All right. Let's fill in some blanks. Number one, the good news is that God does speak. He does speak. God does speak. Couple of the bullet points. This is the greatest distinction of the Christian faith. That's an interesting point to me. The singular experience of every believer, the undeniable teaching of Scripture, and it's the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that. The good news is that God does speak. He's speaking, and that is the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Mark said, have you had that happen? Have you heard him speak? Do you want more? Well, that's his ministry. The Holy Spirit, and we're all getting grounded in that. We're continuing to unpack. I mean, where are you, Lord? Where are you? What's the interaction between me and the Holy Spirit? His specific ministry is to speak to me if I will watch, listen, be still. So that's exciting. I'm going to read one passage off of your notes, and then we'll go right back and we'll pick up some steam. And listen to what Romans 8, 14 through 16 says. Listen to this and identify. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear. Anybody wrestle sometimes with fear? Yes, yes, yeah. Well, you, just guess what? That's of the enemy, right? Because if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's our spirit crying out, connecting. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Okay, one good amen on that. Okay, go. Okay, we'll keep moving. All right, number two, and Mark, you jump in whenever. Number two says, Jesus affirmed the reality that God speaks. Jesus affirmed that. He affirmed it. And those verses are the example of that. Number three, speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. Back to the first point that we made. The Holy Spirit speaking, that's a specific ministry to us. There's some really good bullet points under that. It says, he will teach you and he'll bring you to your remembrance. He will bear witness of me. I will send him to you. Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth and declare to you things to come. Jump in, number four.
Yeah, God wants to speak to us today. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. In the morning he makes me eager to hear. Isaiah 54. Point five, God speaks differently, different in general ways. To the prophet, to the individual, let's say the rational.
This is kind of like what you were talking.
That's
God
right.
God speaks to you in nature.
That's right.
He doesn't speak to me. He doesn't speak to me in nature.
You like spreadsheets?
Come on. Like lawsuits.
Like
he speaks to me in lawsuits.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm glad he speaks it differently.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. God speaks in different specific ways. This is part six. We talked about that, the audible voice of God. There are some that have definitely heard the audible voice. Anybody in here heard the audible voice of God? Awesome. It just seems to be the general way of things that women seem to be more in tune with and more easily hear God's voice. It really is a long sample rate for me to say that. There's something about y'all's nature, or maybe you're just better inclined to hear from the Lord on that stuff. And even if you look in the story of Jesus, it's the women of God that he appears to first and speaks to and has that interaction with. So there's part that I envy in you guys. And it's part of that that's kind of funny. If he's given us the task of having to take on the headship, but y'all are better at hearing his voice.
we got a problem here.
Interesting. it creates an interesting dynamic. It's kind of like God saying to Abraham, hearken unto the voice of your wife. So, are we on the next page?
Yeah, we're there.
Go ahead.
Next bullet point, another example, impressions. And you guys will go back and kind of digest these. This is too fast, you know, but I'm an impressions guy. I don't see pictures. Maybe, you know, some of us in here see pictures. I would love for you to share if you've got an example. If the Lord tells you, just tell us. But visions, I'm not a vision guy. Dreams, aren't we? It seems like we're hearing more and more about dreams. Or maybe am I just listening? But it seems to be more and more dreams. You know, especially like in the Muslim faith. You know, and we're kind of all trying to. We're so tuned in right now to what's going on in the Muslim faith as a church. I guess maybe that's why we're just hearing about dreams.
Saying is Jesus is literally showing up to Muslims out of the blue. No other human contact, no other interaction, nobody's preaching the gospel to them. And they're waking up in the morning and going, I met Jesus in the middle of the night in a dream. I need to go figure out who this guy is and talk to people.
Wow. You can't argue with that, can you? Okay. I mean, I can't refute that. And then, obviously, the last bullet point, he speaks to us in the Scriptures. What does that kind of tell us what we need to do occasionally? Dive into the Scriptures like we are. Isn't it an awesome thing when you read a Scripture, and then you're like, okay, and then a month later, a day later, a minute later, you read that Scripture and go, oh. You didn't get smart all of a sudden, right? It's ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's exciting.
Right. He's bringing to remembrance what you were diligent in putting in. And if you don't put anything in, there's a lot less for him to draw on to try to communicate with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going there.
Real quick, I want to ask impressions. Who feels like they hear God's voice through impressions? That's what I was kind of trying to articulate earlier. Like I feel God's, I'm going through different things and I'm feeling like God's resonating on one of them and I feel his good pleasure. And it's an impression. That I can sometimes give words to and sometimes I can't. What about pictures? Does anybody like see something in their mind's eye?
Yeah.
What yeah. Can you give an example?
Yes. Let's see. Okay, so I have this purse actually. I have this purse that I carry around all the time. It's really banged up and everything, but somebody actually gave me a Louis Vuitton purse.
Oh.
And really nice purse. I kind of feel like it's too nice for me. And I kind of feel like I'm choosing this, which is okay, but God wants so much more for me.
Oh.
And the Louis Vuitton purse is, I don't know, just, yeah, I think what God wants for me, which is just more than what I'm settling for.
Beautiful.
You know? So I go deeper into that, but that's the gist of it.
I like that.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
And how just listening to you testify to that, listen to how that resonates and with her. And so that's just so much better than, that's good.
Thanks.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. God's Word is the standard. This is worth articulating and getting into. What do you guys think we mean when we say that God's Word is the standard?
Ultimate authority.
So when there's no Louis Vuitton bags or purses particularly articulated in the Word, and yet her story isn't invalid at all, the question is, does it cut against? Does it contradict? Is it opposition? And it's not. It's very clear in the Word that we undervalue ourselves on a regular basis and don't step into the identity that God's given us and therefore stay with something that's, you know, cheaper or of less value.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is our self-defense to go, I don't want the expectations to be raised that high on myself because I might have to step into them, and so we don't do that. So that doesn't cut against God's Word. If we said, you know, we had a vision or a dream or an idea or an impression and we knew it was contrary to God's Word, that's the test we have to take it back to. And at that point, no impression or dream or vision or even prophet stands up against God's Word. His Word is the ultimate authority. And so there is no new revelation about sexuality and how what, you know, because it's now commonplace in our culture or whatever, that that supersedes his word. Some new definition of love that means that there's no correction and that love has no consequence with it invalidates what Hebrews says, and says that God's correction on you is actually the proof, the ultimate, one of the ultimate proofs that you're his child, is that he corrects you. And so you don't get to throw Hebrews out because of some new impression or feeling that some author or writer or pastor had. And God's word is the authority. Hmm. So.
Okay, number one, God's word is the divine expression of God. Is the divine expression of God. Next page, number two. God's word upholds, U-P-H-O-L-D-S, upholds all things. Three, God's word is profitable for knowing the Father. A good one, number four, the word of God is truth. I'll do five and you can grab six.
Yep.
And then number five, and we have got to say yes to this, the word of God is alive and powerful. Amen. Thank you. We have got to say that. We've got to say yes to that. Often it doesn't feel that way. And I get up early and I go right to the Word of God, and I'm glad you're not watching me many mornings, because it doesn't look like it's alive and powerful for me. But I know it is. So I keep going, and I love Hebrews 4:12. So let me read that out loud and you follow along. For the Word of God is quick, I love that, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do your analogy.
Yeah, the bone and marrow part, you guys understand in our human body, so this is one of those other places where, like, even in our own human body, our makeup, how we're designed and engineered, there's all kinds of God stuff woven into all of that. You know how in the Word it says that the life is in the blood, and therefore in the Hebrew law, one of the reasons why they're forbidden from eating things with blood is because the life is in the blood. And then when we take communion, we receive the blood of Christ. And so it's like the life is in the blood, and that's what's flowing through us. Anyway, the bone and marrow. So marrow, if you take bone marrow, marrow is what gives birth to blood. It's what makes blood cells. It's what, you know, generates, and it also generates all the other core pieces that you need. It comes from the inside of your marrow. They take marrow to manipulate and do stem cell stuff. It is the cause, the source of. And then when marrow becomes bone, it solidifies and hardens and calcifies, then you get bone. And so God can get in between and discern within us what's become hardened, what's become the bone, what's calcified, and what's the cause. And those are really different. And the marrow is inside the bone. It's actually inside of our bones that comes from that. So it's even kind of disguised inside of that setting. And so a lot of times we try to solve for the bone, and God's going, I want to get to the marrow. I want to get to the point of what's causing that. Because if we get that turned around and that becomes healthy, then it makes everything else healthy.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds
beautiful.
Yeah. Scripture is very relevant, isn't it? Look at that last part of Hebrews 4:12. It says, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Interesting, isn't it? The Scripture discerns the intent of your heart. Why would that be important, you think? What does the Scripture say about our hearts? You know, in Jeremiah 17:9,
it says,
The heart is deceitful. You know, we in this town we have a lot of folks following their heart, right? And you can't. You can follow passion, and if Christ is your passion, you follow your. But following your heart, Lord knows how much trouble that's gotten us into.
That's right.
But the scripture says you follow God's word, and it will take your heart and do exactly what Mark just said. Okay. That's what you're trying to tell me. So that's good. Number six, God's word stands forever. Number seven, God's word causes us to be born again. We know where that originated in John 3. God's word causes us to be born again. Eight, God's word causes us to grow. Nine, God's word is inerrant. I'm from here, so I don't say words that plainly. I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T, inerrant. And then 10, God's word on, is reliable.
Yeah, real quick on inerrant. You guys know what we mean by that? It means without error. Okay. And what we're talking about that is the, Jesus didn't speak English. Anybody know that? Like that wasn't Seriously? Even a language on earth at that time, right? The Bible's not written in English. It's written in Hebrew, it's written in Greek, and it's written in Aramaic, and then it's translated into our languages. Now, I'm going to tell you, 95% of what you need to know about God and His truth and who He is and His Word is going to be available to you in English. There is a 5% that if you get into the Hebrew and the Greek and you understand some nuanced meanings of how words are used, God's big on puns. I don't know if you knew this. God really likes puns. He uses them all the time, like literally. He uses satirical conversation. He uses satire. He talks in some pretty sarcastic ways, even to his disciples. And we tend to try to, as Westerners, we kind of try to neutralize that and make everything logical and very progressive and very thought through, and it's going to fit into these nice little, and it's not. It's relational. And so we can lose some of those puns. English puns don't translate into other languages, right? Because they're a play on words that share the same ending or the same meaning. And so there's some stuff like that that you can get if you get behind the scenes on some of those words. But there's nothing that's of everyday life that you're going to miss by reading the English Bible. But when we're saying inerrant, we're talking about the original manuscripts that God inspired to be written that have been proven to be true beyond the shadow of a doubt. Even just the Textus Receptus, the received text that the King James and the New King James is based on, 5,843 different documents that all agree with each other through hundreds of years. The next most documented book that was written before the printing press has 12 copies, 12, and 12 manuscripts that they refer to, and there's 5,834 for our New Testament. So we know. And the more that they uncover it, the more it turns out to be true.
Number 10, God's word is reliable, like Mark is just explaining. 11, God's word is attested, A-T-T-E-S-T-E-D, to be God's word. So it's sworn to be God's word. God's word is sworn to be God's word.
Let's see, we're doing receiving God's word?
Yeah, receive God's word.
God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to his voice. And number two is you need to position yourself to hear God's word. So a couple of things that God says. If a man regards iniquity in his heart, he's not going to hear God. If you've got something that you know that you're operating in that's continually in a form of rebellion, what you're probably going to hear is either God's correction or God's silence. You're not going to hear his favor and his, attaboys and all those things. Now, that's a willful sin. Y'all hear me? That's a willful sin. I'm holding on to this on purpose. I know it's wrong. Versus something that's maybe generated in our character because of the way we were brought up or weren't brought up or woundings and things that are there. That's different. God's more enduring with us in those things, and he works through in us, and he's mercy along the way. But you hold on to willful sin, you can't have an expectation of hearing God's voice. The other thing the New Testament tells us is that if there's an issue between me and my wife, it actually hinders my ability to hear God. It specifically says that. And so if I have something that's in between me and Lisa, I've hindered my ability to hear from him. Mm. So when we say put yourself in that position, those are some things that you want to go. These are hurdles that will keep you from hearing it right away. You got to get rid of those. And then how do you proactively do that? Mm.
You know, you see the familiar beatitude under that point number two from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think we often read that verse, blessed are the perfect in heart, for they shall see God. You know, we put a standard in there, and what pure means is clean heart. You know, we need cleansing all the time, don't we? So we think we take one bath and we're supposed to have this thing figured out. No, that's a cleansing. You know, when Jesus cleansed the temples, when he went in and cleansed the temple, you know, we think he was turning over tables to be turning over tables and trying to get rid of money changers. No, he was talking about the cleansing that was coming through the Holy Spirit. And I often get caught in that trap of thinking, okay, I'm supposed to be perfect / pure. How come I'm not seeing God? No. I need a daily cleansing. And how would you get a cleansing? What would be something? How would you today say, Lord, I want to be cleansed? What would be a proactive step in that?
Repent.
Mm-hmm. Confess. Boom. It's over, isn't it?
Yeah, first verse I ever memorized was 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Not only the forgiveness, but the cleansing.
I like that. Cleansing, it's continuous. And all we have to do is to really strive to be clean. I think we're there.
Yep.
That's it. Let me give you a couple thoughts, because I think we have another minute or so. I was asking the Lord today just kind of, what keeps us from hearing the Holy Spirit? And I just wrote down these things that you know, but just to, you know, Lord, what creates blockage, heart blockage? What creates that in my life and in your life? And I just kind of thought, doubt or pride, that creates a blockage. Pride creates a blockage in my heart where I can't hear. Religious tradition, you know, in the temple, they could not understand what Jesus was doing because it was religious tradition. Fear, that creates a blockage where I can't hear. Unconfessed sin, emotional wounds that Mark talked about, and then unyielding spirit. You know, if my spirit is all about self, then I'm not going to be able to hear. Good? Cool? Good.
Okay. Let's hear it for these two gentlemen.
You're here.
Now, if we can pray to get them saved, they'll be doing this. All right, what we're going to do now is break up into small groups of two or three at the most. And we ask you, spouses don't necessarily sit together, sit with people that you don't know. And the questions for discussion will be, what is Jesus showing you? Where is he challenging you? And what is Jesus wanting you to do? And then, in your group, as you come to the close of it, try to get one question in each group that you can have these two gentlemen answer at the end of the session. So let's do that. Break into groups now. If you need a pen, let me know. We've got plenty of pens. And then we'll come back with those in about 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Get your own group. Get your own group.
Steve and I were talking about this the other day. How many branches? I'm like a guy who lives in the jungle. You never feel it anymore because you're talking about something. Yeah.
I mean, you're not alone, but yeah.
Kind of on like Fridays, you know. I don't always get up and go like, what am I doing here? That's weird.
What are
I've been going back and forth